Hey guys, welcome back to H4TT, the podcast. You know what that is. Hope for today's tomorrow. Here it is our goal, honor, and joy to share and spread the hope of Jesus Christ with you, tomorrow's church today, to help you grow as a disciple and a leader for the next generation. My name is Alec. I will be your host for today, as always. And today I am joined with a very good friend of mine, Renee. How are you doing today, Renee?
Hey, Alec, thank you so much. I'm doing great, man. It's such a blessing. Thank you so much for inviting me onto your podcast show. I've been looking forward to it, and I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely, man. I've been looking forward to this, too. You have such an awesome testimony to give, and I'm just so excited for people to just hear what you have to say when it comes to you and your faith. So let's not mess around here. Let's dive right into it. At what age did you start believing?
You know, I want to say, I mean, for as young as I could remember, I mean, I want to say probably, I don't know, maybe 8, 9, like I knew about God, right? And I think as a kid, my parents really did they did a good job of making sure we went to church. And, you know, we took classes as little kids and actually I grew up Catholic, and that was really interesting. And I remember just as a kid, I'm basically just kind of going through the motions and not really understanding the word of God. But just knowing my mom, she was a woman of faith, a woman of God, and she always used to remind me and my siblings to make sure we have a relationship with God. That is the most important thing. And it wasn't until, you know, as I got into high school and I'm growing up, I'm a teenager, and a good friend of mine, his name is Stanley, still lives in Miami. And I remember his father asking me, he said, "Hey, do you want to go to church with us?" And at the time I was like, well, I guess, you know, cause I was so used to going to Catholic churches. I wasn't used to going to other type churches. And so this was just, you know, a non-denomination Christian church. And I remember I went and I fell in love with it because it was so different. You know, usually when going to a Catholic church is so, there's like a rhythm with how they do things. But this, it was different, you know, and I love the worship songs, and I got plugged into that church really quick. And I remember his dad said, "Hey, Renee, I would like for you to go to catechism." And I was like, "Catechism?" I said, "What's that?" And basically, you know, he said, "This is going to be a class that's going to really just kind of break down the Bible, the fundamental of it, so that way you can really learn it." He said, "Are you interested?" And I said, "Yeah." And I remember telling him, "Let me talk with my parents to see if they'll be willing to pay." He said, "Don't worry about it. I've already paid for you." I'm like, "Oh, wow." You know, so I can't remember how long the class was, but I think it was probably, I don't know, maybe 2 months or so. But we had graduation. And so I remember it was my senior, I want to say probably my junior year in high school, going through the catechism class, learning just the fundamental of, you know, about the Bible, learning to have a relationship with God and, you know, understanding the Holy Spirit. I mean, just all that. And I remember like it was yesterday, the day of graduation, you know, they had us up on the stage and, you know, they gave us our certificates and they had worship music. And out of the blue, I felt this overwhelming feeling of love. It's hard to explain it, but it's like, you know, it's there. And I knew it was God. And I just started crying and I didn't know why. I just cried and cried and cried and cried. It was almost as if there was a weight on my shoulder that I probably didn't really realize until the love of God was like upon me. And I just remember crying and at that point there, I knew, God, I submit my life to you. And from that day point, from that day moving forward, I just never looked back. I just continued to serve him the best that I can, to be the best that I can, and just continuing to develop that relationship. And I tell people all the time, when you experience the love of God, it's just something that It's hard to explain, but man, that feeling is unforgettable. So, but yeah, man, 18 years old. 18 years old is when I fully gave my life up to the Lord, and it's been the best decision I've ever made.
That transition from the life of the flesh mm-hmm. to the life of spirit, man, that's when your life yeah. just changes right there.
It does. It does, man. It's, you know, and, you know, I tell people there's no way that I can ever imagine living my life without God. You know, I looked at so many situations I've been through and how he has saved me through those situations. You know, I think back when I was active duty in the Navy, and my wife and I, we had just built a house, and we were moving all day. And during that time, I was stationed at the Naval Hospital in Jacksonville, Florida. And I remember, and I was working the 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. shift. So coming off of work that day, moving all day and not even sleeping. And I remember I had to go to work, and I quickly took a shower, got in the car, started driving. And I was sleeping. I mean, I was like dozing off at the wheel. And I was, I don't know, maybe 15, 12 minutes away from the hospital. I called my wife. I said, I need you to stay on the phone with me because, you know, I don't know if I'm going to stay up if I don't have somebody to talk to. So she stayed on the phone. And next thing you know, I wake up. I'm in a car accident. And I'm like, what just happened? You know, I see police knocking at my, you know, window, and I'm just so confused. You know, it's just, it's like 1 minute I'm on the phone, the next minute it's like I woke up in a nightmare. And when I opened up the door, the police officer said, hey, are you okay? Are you hurting? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He was like, you just got into a car accident. I said, what do you mean? And he's like, yeah, you ran into a car. And, you know, I don't even remember, but basically the police was like, you must have fell asleep on the wheel. And there was a car at a red light. And the way the road kind of went up and then it dipped down. And when it dipped down, you know, the red light is right there. And there was a car right at the bottom. So I must have went and boom, hit the car. The car ended up spinning. But thank God the guy was perfectly okay. And that shook me. I started shaking because I was like, oh my goodness. First, that was reckless. Second, I could have killed somebody. And thank God the guy was perfectly fine. Honestly, I don't know how I would have been able to live with myself. And, but even for me, I could have died too, you know, and it's just one of those life situations. It, you know, it was a close call, but I'm just glad that everybody involved was okay. Everybody came out safe. And, you know, for me, it's just like, never will I do something like that. If I'm tired, and especially to the point where I know I can drive, I'm not getting behind that wheel. Again, yeah, it's just, you know, situations like that, I'm just very fortunate I was able to walk away from and learn from it, you know, but by the grace of God, man, you know, I made it through, the other person made it through, and we're just fine.
Man, it's it's crazy how God can just protect us in situations yeah. where it seems like there's no protection. Yeah. It's and that has sure. to do with you just giving your life up and giving up your control of the situation and giving it that is. Control back to God. And once you give that control to him, man, it's just all of it just changes.
It does. You know, I think sometimes, you know, I think us just being human beings, I think naturally we want to control anything and everything that we can. But it's not until we finally realize to truly be selfless and give up control. I mean, give control to God, allow him to lead us. When you submit to God, it is when you are truly at your greatest. It is when you truly start to see how God changes everything, your inner circles, the people that you used to speak with who may not have any good intentions in your life. You start to see how you move, you see the way you start to think, it changes just submitting. And I know sometimes it's hard for people to even understand that, especially when you haven't even done that, right? When you haven't even, you know, considered submitting your life to God. But it's just one of those things where life, you know, it's not just about me. It's not just about you. I mean, life is really about being unselfish, loving other people, and understanding that living in this, you know, living in this life that I have now, the time that God has given me, allowing God to use me in a way that I can do good for others. And I think when you have that mindset, that is when you start to see that shift for sure. And you start to experience, you know, how God is going to be able to move you. And so I've had that opportunity to be able to do that. And it's been amazing.
Man, that's just fantastic. I mean, it's awe-inspiring to hear from other people how just faith has changed them. Absolutely. So it really just goes to show that this isn't this is real.
Yeah.
It just goes to show that how real our God is and how living he is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He did not die on that cross. He rose 3 days later.
Exactly.
And he is alive and moving and working amongst us.
Always.
So it's awesome to hear about that.
For sure.
You and I talked a little bit about that whole lowest point when it came to faith. Could you talk a little bit about that and kind of what did you do to get back on your feet and start to make that climb in your life?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, in life, I think we all at some point going to experience some level of low points in our life, right? And it could be different situations that may cause us to get to those low points. You know, whether we lose our jobs, whether it's in relationships, you know, with our significant others, I mean, whatever, or even when, you know, family die, you know, and, you know, for me, you know, I think about when my father passed away. This was in 2018. And, you know, as a kid, I remember feeling invincible. I felt, you know, just felt like nothing bad would happen to me. I felt like I'll live forever. But as you get older and people that you know, like, pass away, and it's like, man, this is really getting close to home, you start to realize, man, you know, it could be me. And I remember when my father, you know, passed away, it was tough, man. It was tough. And I think about him every day. You know, people that I know who lost their parents, you talk about maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, they still say they think about their parents each and every day. And it was really the first time, I think, in life where I felt lonely, right? Because the idea of knowing my parents are still alive was comforting to me. It's like, man, you know, I can call my mom, I can call my dad, I can talk to them. But for my father, with him being gone, I'm like, I don't have a father. You know, I don't have a father that I can call and say, hey, dad, you know, let's talk about sports, because he loves, you know, talking about sports. His favorite team is Miami Heat. And I mean, we would talk on a weekly basis just about basketball, and just knowing that I couldn't pick up that phone and call him. And it was, and but what helped me through that situation, but and then and actually let me back up a little bit. When he passed away, I just kind of pulled back from a lot of things. I really didn't speak a lot to people. I just stay quiet. And thank goodness for my wife, and she understood. That was my way of kind of grieving with that situation. But it took me, to take a step back, reevaluate life, and just understand that life can be so fleeting. And this is why each and every day that we live, we have to make sure that we're living for God, right? We have to live in a very unselfish way and make sure that, whatever God will is for us in life, that we have to be able to live, live for that. And, I think just going back and just reading the word and just understanding the word of God and knowing that, my father will be in a better place. My dad was a man of very few words. And like I tell people this all the time, there's not one time in my entire life have I ever heard my dad say, "I love you." And it's not to say anything bad about my dad, because I know he loved us. He through his actions. My dad was always a man of very few words, but my goodness, he would make sure we had everything we needed. He worked hard. And
Yes.
so for that, it's like love is an action. And so and again, for me and my siblings, we knew how much he loved us. He would call on us, check up on us, just make sure that we were good. And I appreciate him for that. But as I got, into the word, and that's what really kept me sane. This is what helped me to not fall into a deep depression, just reading the word of God and understanding that whether my earthly father is no longer here, I still have a father regardless, a father who created me, a father who loves me unconditionally, and that is God. And so I had to think back when I was that young 18-year-old, a teenager, how, feeling the love of God and how that just comforted me. And as I thought about that, I realized, you know what? Us living here on earth, we're really not the lucky ones. It is those who are already in heaven. They are living a life where they no longer have to live in fear or worry. They are truly at peace, and they are with our Father. And so just having that mindset and thinking about that, it really took me out of that dark moment in my life. And and as a father right now, I cherish that with my kids, just spending time with them, watching them grow, being a part of their life, being able to do some of the things that my father wasn't able to do, but I learned from those things. And again, I think just being able to come out of that dark, sad state of being, just getting right back into the word of God. And again, my wife just being a big supporter and just helping me through that.
And that's, first of all, wow. That I know we've already talked about this, but it doesn't mean that I'm not already like taken back a little bit by your story. It's one of the awesome parts about loss is the fact that there's also gain, but you have to look for it.
Absolutely.
That's one of the few awesome parts about loss. And it's also interesting to see how that little perspective change or that mindset change can just totally change the your outlook on the situation.
Absolutely. Very, very true.
So what was it like exactly, in your words, what was that mindset shift for you?
That mindset shift, for me, I've always tried to be that strong willed, that strong-minded person, but I understood in that very moment just the thought of knowing my father was no longer going to be here, that knowing who I can lean on was probably the first thing. Yes, my wife is here, but knowing ultimately God is who I should lean on because he is the one who wants to carry our burden. We don't have to carry burdens all on our own. And I think because of my faith, that was something that was a natural reaction. And then just from the mindset shift is that, Renee, you know that we all, I mean, basically, we're not going to live forever. And so at some point, you have to understand that death is inevitable, but you have to be comfortable in understanding that, that to some extent, really, death is normal, it's a part of living, but it doesn't mean that it is the end. And just understanding that, and as I said, just really getting into the word and just, staying in prayer. That mindset for me, it started to shift to understand, okay, God, I hear you. This is not the end. This is not where my father's life ends, right? Just because my father's no longer here on earth, it doesn't mean that I stop living because I have family members who still, counting for me, right? It's like, hey, we still need you. And so if I allowed the situation to cripple me to the point where, I'm not, waking up every day to go to work and do what I have to do, then I knew that I'm allowing the situation, right? And so my mindset wouldn't be in the right place. And so I knew I couldn't allow that. And it was just the comfort of God, trusting his word, my faith in him, and just understanding that death is truly the beginning of living eternal life with God. And so that thought right there is what really helped me to have that shift and knowing that my dad is okay and I am at peace with it. I mean, he lived a long life, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and man, I respect that whole eternal perspective, the perspective that eternity exists, and so does God. And so does that glorious promise of heaven. And because these things are real, I refuse to look at this as this loss as the end.
Right. Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
honestly, that's a perspective that Paul talks about a lot. He talks about how he says, the present sufferings are not worthy of comparing to the glories that will have in heaven.
That is very
And
true.
so it, man, you've really taken those words and just put them into action, into
Absolutely.
real life application. That's so great. And if you could give the listener one thing or one small thing to change that you've done that they can do in their lives when it comes to that eternal perspective mindset shift, what's one thing that they can do right now?
One thing I would say is build that relationship with God. And how you do that is by, I'm not saying to pray for 30 minutes, pray for an hour. Each and every one of us can develop a relationship with God, even if it's just sometimes when you're by yourself, just having a simple conversation the way you and I, like I do that, sometimes when I'm in the bathroom, taking a shower, I'm just having a talk with God about my day, whatever's on my mind. And what the beauty of it is that the Holy Spirit is here to guide us, right? And sometimes when I'm having conversations with God, you get this thought that just comes, right? And that thought that comes out of the blue is almost like a soft voice, and it tells you, hey, Like if I'm feeling some type of way about something, it's gonna convict me. It's gonna tell me something, right? And so I think just having that conversation, that relationship is so huge. And I tell people that because here's the other thing, right? I think about the day I die, right? And knowing the relationship I have with my wife and my kids, I want to be able to die and stand before God and say, because when God asked me, you know, what have you done to ensure that you've lived your life according to the will I have for you to ensure that you save others, right? Because we all have a responsibility, whether we realize it or not, that we have to make sure we're doing our part here on earth to ensure that we're supporting, educating our loved ones and others to and lead them to God. Sometimes our actions and our words can potentially lead people astray, and we have to be very, very cautious of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, it goes back to me answering this question: build that relationship with God, so that way, God would be the center foundation of your life. When I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking about God. Throughout the day, I'm thinking about God. I'm talking to God. Before I eat, I'm thanking Him. You know, and so it is an ongoing relationship. Sometimes even when God feels like He's not near, you have to understand that God would never leave us. Sometimes it is us that's drifting away. We have to make sure that we are doing the work, that we're doing our part to stay near and close to Him. You know, and you know, aside with that, I want to tell this to people that there was a video that I watched. And it was about this young guy who, you know, he fell asleep and, you know, on his couch. And this video, I mean, it shook me to my core. And this young dude said when he fell asleep, he was at Judgment Day, and it was a long line, and he can see people just getting judged right before him. And as people are getting judged, he's getting bumped up. He's getting moved up in the line, getting closer and closer to God. He is scared. And he said he remembered this one lady where God basically banished her to the bottomless pit because of the fact that she was posting things on social media that was leading people away from Him. And because of that, he said hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people that could have been saved ended up not being saved because of what she was posting. That, I was like, wow. It just shook me to my core because people really don't understand. You don't necessarily have to be a big influencer, a famous person. But the more famous you are, the more people will see, you know, what you post on social media, the things that you say, how you act. Your behavior can have a direct impact and influence on millions of people, and that may lead people astray. And because of that, not knowing the consequences of your actions, your words, that can ultimately, impact you on, yeah, you know, on potential Judgment Day, right? And so when the dude said that, and he said the lady was banished into the bottomless pit and how her scream was delayed, I was just like, man, it is scary. And so because of that, I try to be very cautious with what I say, what I do. You know, and so again, it's just building that relationship with God. It is so crucial because I think when you build that relationship, you'll be more aware of yourself. Yeah. You'll be more aware how you carry yourself, how you speak. So I think everything will just kind of carry on.
Yeah, going back to Genesis 1:27, that image of God, reflecting that, the image of God that you were created in your actions and your words, and as you said, as in your social media posts.
Absolutely.
Just reflecting that image of God. That's one of those things that is, it's a simple thing to do, but that doesn't mean it's an easy thing to do.
True. Very true. Very true.
God, every command that Christ gave us, and when he was alive, and in his life here on earth, when every command that God gave us in the Old Testament, there were simple commands, but carrying those commands out, not easy. But I think that's the part about being a Christian, is the fact it's not going to be easy, but man, is it going to be worth it?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the moment you give up your life to God, I mean, you best believe the enemy is going to come and try to, steal, kill, and destroy your life, right? And this is why, I think when God speaks to us, we have to learn to listen, but it comes through that discipline, right? Investing into God's relationship. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, there's days when I may wake up and I don't read my devotional, but it bothers me. I'm like, okay, I got to make sure I at least find time to do it, right? And one thing that I always remember whenever I may not be consistent for a day or two is that first, I remember Pastor Robert Morris, he said, first thing first. And I remember, I was like, what does it mean, first thing first? He said, put God in your life first, right? And everything that you do, make sure he comes first. And basically, it's almost like a habit, right? You wake up first thing in the morning, you get down, on your knees and you pray, you do your devotional. Before you eat, you pray, you give God thanks. So if you can practice those things and develop that habit, then it's great, right? And so I was like, man, he put in perspective so well. I mean, just really simple things, just being able to do those actions, over and over. And so, being able to do that and listening to when God speak to us would definitely, help us.
Absolutely. I honestly couldn't have put that in better words myself, even if I did try. Renee, thank you for coming on today. You've added so much value to this podcast and this interview. I know we talked before, but I just listened to you retell these stories. I just, the reality of it all kind of hit me.
Yeah.
So sure. That was very educational and inspirational for me. And I hope it was for you guys too. Honestly, the kingdom of God is so alive here on earth, and the Holy Spirit just moves so fluently among us, that God can work in all stories once you give that glory to God. And Renee, you are the living embodiment of what that is. So Renee, do you have any final words for you? If the audience could walk away with one thing from this interview, what would that be?
Three things. First, build that relationship with God. Understand what God's will for your life is. And you do that by staying in prayer, listening to him when he speaks to you. But also be courageous and live a fearless life that God has called you to live. Don't be afraid to say that you believe in God, that you believe in Jesus Christ, that you have a relationship with him. Be fearless from that standpoint. Because remember, he died on that cross for you. And don't let that be in vain. And so that's the least that we can do.
I love that. Don't let Christ die in vain. Oh my gosh. I'm gonna write that down. That's good. That's good, man. Hey, Renee, thank you for joining me today and making time for this.
No problem. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Just as a little heads up, usually I get requests for the people I interview to come back on to talk more about certain subjects. So there might be an encore to this interview.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much. Renee, how can they reach out to you if they have questions or if they want to hear specifically your perspective on something?
Definitely. People can reach me through my Instagram. It's R. Lumain. I'm also on Facebook as well. Renee Lumain. Name is spelled R-E-N-E. Last name L-U-M-E-N-E. And those will be the best way to get a hold of me. And I love to be able to share my story, share my perspective on the word of God, and just help lead people to God.
Awesome. Guys, I will link those in the description, so please go check it out. Guys, this has been the interview with Ray Lumain. He has shared his story, and my prayer for you is that you got something out of this. I know for a fact I got something out of this. I also got a saying that I'm going to have to go write down right after this, because I've never heard anyone say quite like that, and I like it. I really like it. Remember, guys, don't let Christ die in vain. That was awesome. That was awesome. Guys, this has been H4TT, the podcast. Hope for today's tomorrow. And it has been my goal, honor, and joy to share and spread the hope of Jesus Christ with you, tomorrow's church today. I'll see you guys in the next episode. And until then, guys, as always, remember, stay awesome.